the first question would be simply, is China developing a viable alternative to democracy, which third countries may ultimately look to as more successful than the Western democratic model, or more suitable for their own economic development while keeping a kind of authoritarian system?
There are a number of people working in the China field who believe that China has developed something which is something called resilient authoritarianism, and there are obviously governments in Asia and elsewhere in the developing world where democracy is not fully developed, and people might well think of copying it. But the reason why the Chinese have been able to keep going in this way for so many years, since 20 years ago and the democracy movement in Tiananmen Square, is that they have developed economic success. And it's not just the government, of course. The government has liberated peasants and workers and managers in many ways so that they are delivering economic success. And the result is that there is less inclination to object to the government. That's not to say that there are no protests, because there are tens of thousands of protests, and we know this from official figures, every year in China, both in rural areas and in urban areas, mainly in rural areas, where there's a lot of exploitation of the peasantry in the sense that there are corrupt officials, there are corrupt deals selling land which the local government doesn't own to industries, which then pollute the neighborhood. And there have been thousands and thousands of protests, often resulting in conflict with the police in various parts of China. And the problem for the Chinese government, of course, is that no government anywhere in the world can permanently deliver success. And if the present global recession, for instance, has a bad impact on China, and so far they seem to be doing reasonably well, comparatively speaking, then all bets are off, because then the success would not be being delivered, and other arguments against the government would be heard. But one thing one's got to emphasize is that at the moment, most Chinese are protesting against local governments, against the governments in their villages, their townships, their counties, perhaps even their provinces. But they seem to think that the central government's okay. It's sort of the opposite of Washington, where the local congressman is popular, but Washington is unpopular. And what needs to happen if there's going to be any change in this resilient authoritarian scenario is that the people begin to believe that, in fact, the central government is behind all the problems and that they have no more patience with it.
Mm-hmm. That's most interesting. In terms of maintaining its legitimacy, apart from delivering economic progress, is the Chinese Communist Party changing? I mean, they've got a very outdated ideological base at this point. Their own economic system barely resembles Marxism at this point. Are they shifting their base of legitimacy in some way to hold on to power as well?
Well, the original basis for legitimacy, as you rightly indicate, was partly the doctrine of Marxism-Leninism, which claimed to have understood the past and to predict the future. And that's been pretty well abandoned in practice, if not in theory. Another pillar of the communist system was the Communist Party. And as a result of the Cultural Revolution, when many of its leaders were purged and humiliated, and as a result of the corruption since the Cultural Revolution in the last 20, 30 years, the Communist Party has lost its prestige and its authority. It still has power, of course, but it no longer is respected as it was before the Cultural Revolution. And thirdly, they don't have a leader like Mao or even Deng Xiaoping, to give coherence and leadership in the absence of these other pillars. So it is, in fact, a very fragile regime. The legitimacy from the communist system has gone, and that's why Deng Xiaoping decided that he had to develop the country, because otherwise, I think he thought, that the party would be thrown out by the people because they'd been doing nothing but tearing the country apart for the previous 10, 15 years. So I think that the legitimacy has gone, but it's very difficult to see any other legitimacy, because you can't go back to Confucianism. That would really make a mockery of the whole communist system. And they've been seeking for various ways to find a new doctrine, while not formally discarding Marxism-Leninism. Deng Xiaoping, for instance, had socialism with Chinese characteristics. Well, of course, the Chinese are not building socialism with Chinese characteristics. They're building capitalism with Chinese characteristics. If you want socialism with Chinese characteristics, you go to Singapore. And then Jiang Zemin had the idea of the three represents as a new theory for bringing the whole people together. And now, of course, you've got Hu Jintao and Wen Jiabao with their theory of the harmonious society. But none of these has any real grip on the people, because none of these doctrines are really doctrines. They're simply policy prescriptions or ad hoc descriptions of what is actually happening. And so I tell my students that the regime lacking legitimacy, the old legitimacy, is fragile, but that the main force in politics, which everyone forgets, is inertia. And even a house of cards or sandcastle can stand for a long time until something comes along to destroy it. And I think that the Chinese government is itself very worried about the problems it faces. It keeps talking about corruption as something that might bring it down. They know that that's what a major factor in what brought their enemies, the Nationalist Party, down in the 40s. They're worried about revolts in the Northwest and in Tibet. They're worried about the corruption of local officials, which might undermine their rule. But there's not much they can do about it. They can't purge all the corrupt local officials, so they'd have no officials to work for them. So they're in a cleft stick. And as I said, they have to keep running in order to stay in place.
Let me ask one more question, if you have a moment more, if I may.
Sure.
And that is, where does this Western concept of democracy fit into this? Is that something that the Chinese regime has a reason to fear? Does democracy have much resonance among the Chinese population, given their China's own cultural references and its own self-confidence in its own values and systems?
Well, I don't know that the Chinese know what their own system is at the moment. In the early part of the 20th century, they abandoned Confucianism, at least formally, Imperial Confucianism, and there were attacks by intellectuals on social Confucianism. So that was sort of turning their back on the past. And with the undermining of Marxism and Leninism, they seem to have no doctrine for the future. So it's a very, very unstable situation, and that's why the government is worried and is running to keep in one place. I think that the point about democracy is not that there are Jeffersonians and Washingtonians standing around in the halls of academia in China, or perhaps in villages in China. What I think you saw in 1989, 20 years ago, in the Tiananmen democracy protest, was a sense among the students and all the people who cheered them on in 100 cities, was that there must be a better way to govern a country than the use of police, the use of armed force, and the lack of a space in which intelligent people could operate and perhaps give their suggestions to the government. And what I think has happened in the meanwhile has been that the response of the government has been to say, okay, you can have a bit more space in private, and we'll let you have that, as long as you don't go to Tiananmen Square and denounce the government. And so there's an implicit social contract that's been functioning ever since the Tiananmen protest 20 years ago. I think that if you look at China's neighbor, Japan, which is in the past borrowed so much from China, but which China tried to emulate at the beginning of the 20th century, you'll see that they have a democratic system there, but no one would claim that it was a replica of the Western democratic system, except in the most barest essentials. And I suspect that at some point, the Chinese will move towards some form of more plural political system, but it won't necessarily be anything like the Japanese system or indeed the American system. It'll be a functioning form of democracy, and it may well be like the former Soviet Union, that some parts of China will be more democratic than others, simply because of greater economic prosperity and greater education of the population. But it will be different. But I don't think that you can rule out, in fact, I would rule in, at some point in the future, a transformation of China into a more plural political system.
Mm-hmm. That's most interesting. And I suppose you would disagree with those, including some Chinese, who say that they don't really see democracy as suitable for China because China needs stability and social order.
What they don't realize, because for years they've held India up as a negative example before they started holding the former Soviet Union up as a negative example, is that demonstrations and riots don't necessarily make for instability. India has more riots, I imagine, than China has. And it's been having them ever since it became independent in 1947. But they do not undermine the stability of the state. And there's one simple reason for that, and that is that the people of India know, and they've got used to doing this, is that if they don't like a government, they throw the rascals out, like they do in any other democratic system. And so, though you have the demonstrations, they don't threaten the political system. The problem for the Chinese, maybe they don't realize this, is that a demonstration in China, even if it's a local demonstration, ultimately is threatening the whole system, because the system does not admit of protest of that form and tries to mitigate it. It's trying to handle them a little bit more gently than it used to, but you can't restrain the local officials from reasserting themselves if they feel threatened. So I think that it's easy to understand the demand for stability, but I mean, that's a sort of silly argument, because no one in the world except committed revolutionaries want anything but stability. And you've got all sorts of systems of government which are stable, without being like the Chinese system. I think the one of the real underlying problems of people who say China needs stability, it was expressed to me some years ago by a very distinguished academic Mandarin, so to speak. And that was when I asked this person, what do you think about the prospects for democracy in China? And the answer was very revealing. This was a member of the Communist Party. Look, we've been ruled by peasants for the past 40 years or more. By peasants, she meant a peasant-based Communist Party. If we have the vote, if we have democracy, we'll be ruled by the peasants forever. And I think what you've got in China is an educated class, the businessmen who don't want any trouble from the workers and wants the party to keep them in order, and a Mandarin class who finally recovered the position they had down through the ages of being advisors to the government and don't want to be put to one side by electoral considerations and the government listening to the broad masses, as they call them. So I think that there is certainly a great deal of antagonism to the idea of a more plural system, and antagonism in the most unlikely places. But what therefore has to happen, to take Mao's words, is there has to be a series of sparks that would ignite a nationwide protest against the government. That's what happened in 1989 when there were demonstrations in 100 cities. What that spark would be, the first spark, I don't know. But I think that the Chinese government is very worried about that, and that's why it's taking enormous care to block all kind of information coming in from the outside world about the 20th anniversary of Tiananmen. It has not exorcised that ghost, and it is continually in fear of the ghost returning to threaten the party.
That's most interesting indeed. And the ghost might or might not take the form of a democracy movement.
Well, I think in the first instance, it would take the form of an anti-government protest, which grew from maybe a small protest into a bigger protest, if there were some subject which ignited people in different parts of the country. You know, if, for instance, the melamine scandal in the bad milk scandal a few months ago had been nationwide and babies had died in large numbers, that could have been the kind of thing that might have ignited people. But I think that in the first instance, it would not be someone standing up on a platform in Tiananmen Square and saying, now we will have democracy. There would be upheaval, and hopefully someone would come out of it and people would emerge who knew what a plural system was and would want to put it in place. But, you know, as I said, inertia is the strongest force in politics, and it's quite conceivable, and many of my colleagues believe, that the present system may last for a very long time.